Hey everyone, I'm John Pittman, and this is The Real Rewind, where we take a look back at some of our favorite movies growing up. Now, it's no secret that Disney has only really been making movies in three categories lately: Marvel, Star Wars, and remakes of their own classics. And those classics, they fall under one of two categories. Either they're a hit, or they're a miss. And when it comes to the misses, it makes us go, "Disney needs to stop and come up with new material." Or, "They're ruining our childhood." Well, let me let you in on a little secret. This Disney remake thing that's been happening over the years is nothing new. Disney has been remaking their own movies for a long time. And what we're going to do on this podcast's first season is we're going to take a look at a lot of their remakes, starting with the original and then looking at the remake. Now, I've decided to go in order of when the original movie was released and going forward from there. So I'm recording this movie in February, which means the first movie technically would be Snow White, but the remake hasn't come out yet. It's going to come out in March. So the first movie we're going to look at is Pinocchio. Now, if you look at the story of Pinocchio and you look at the Disney version, there is a vast difference between the two. Pinocchio was originally designed as short stories as a warning to boys who misbehaved. In fact, Pinocchio was written more as a tragedy than it was as a fun, loving, little wooden boy aspiring to become a real boy. For instance, when Geppetto first teaches Pinocchio how to walk, the first thing Pinocchio does is run out of the house and doesn't even bother going to school. He just runs away from Geppetto, and then some odd reason, Geppetto winds up in jail because someone thinks that Geppetto's abusing Pinocchio. I mean, that's in the story. I mean, the whole point of Pinocchio is that he is misbehaving, he is making bad decisions. In fact, he kills Jiminy Cricket with a hammer in the original storyline. So, Disney had to make some vast differences in Pinocchio so the audience would actually fall in love with this character and run a route for him later. They're going to see this trend a lot happening, especially with characters like Winnie the Pooh. You're going to see there's the original source material, and then there's the Disney version, and there's really no comparison between the two because the Disney version is very different than the original source material. Now, with all that being said about the original source material of Pinocchio, let's take a look at the 1940s Disney classic, Pinocchio. This is Disney's second animated film, and it's kind of hard to top Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but, you know, Disney's starting a new business. He's starting a new animation studio, and Pinocchio was a good choice for a second one. Now, in my opinion, in the 1940s, animation is the only way you can tell the story of Pinocchio. I mean, you have a little wooden boy, and we don't have the CGI, or we don't have the technology to and camera tricks like we do nowadays. Animation is the only way in the 1940s to tell the story of Pinocchio. And again, it's Disney's version of Pinocchio, so there's going to be some vast changes to the character. So because Disney's first animated feature film, Snow White, was considered a box office success, he's going to take what worked from that movie and apply it to a second feature film, Pinocchio. And one of that being the music and the songs. So we get such catchy numbers like "Give a Little Whistle," "I've Got No Strings," "Hi Diddly Dee," "An Actor's Life for Me." And of course, we hear it every single time we start watching a new Disney movie. It's in the intro, "When You Wish Upon a Star." The song "When You Wish Upon a Star" is being sung by Jiminy Cricket in the opening credits. Jiminy Cricket was played by an actor named Cliff Edwards. Now, Cliff Edwards at the time was perfect casting for Pinocchio, kind of the top billing ticket seller name. He was known then as being a vaudeville performer and one of the pioneers of the talkie or sound movies. His singing voice was very recognizable, and also he did a lot of recordings for radio telling stories. Perfect choice for Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket is what Cliff Edwards is best known for, and he continued his career as Jiminy Cricket for both other movies like Fun and Fancy Free and the Mickey Mouse Club on television. Now here's a little interesting Easter egg when you're watching Pinocchio. When Jiminy Cricket's singing "When You Wish Upon the Star," he's singing on top of the Pinocchio book. Now, that's this kind of a traditional way for Disney to start his movies is, if it's taken from the book, have the camera zoom in on the book. He already did it with Snow White. Let's do it with Pinocchio. But if you look at the two books next to Jiminy Cricket, it's Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan. Those are movies that Disney would later do. Instead of giving you guys a whole synopsis of the movie, because I'm sure you've seen it, let's just go over some of the big major points of Pinocchio. First of all, we have the character of Geppetto, who is considered a nice man throughout the entire village. He's a clockmaker, he's a music box toy maker, he's a tinkerer, pretty much. He's got two pets, Figaro and Cleo. Now, Figaro steals every scene that he's in. He's got the sass. Figaro is just hilarious when it comes to his relationship with the goldfish Cleo, and even the portrait of Figaro with Pinocchio is hilarious.
Say hello to Figaro. Oops, oh, up to mischief already. You see what happens?
By the way, I mentioned that Geppetto was a clockmaker. Have you seen the clocks that Geppetto makes in the movie? Some of these clocks are just hilarious, and I kind of wish I had some of them. He's got a church clock that's really cool. He's got a duck clock that kind of rolls around. He's got a honeybee. He's got a chicken. He's got a guy with an axe getting ready to cut off a turkey's head. He's got a huntsman that's aiming at a canary and shooting the canary. He's got a drunk that hiccups on the chime. And he's got a one where a kid spilt paint and the mom is spanking the kid. Disney, what are you animating in these? And this is Geppetto as a toy maker, and he's considered one of the kindest hearts in the village, and he's making clocks where a mom is spanking her child. Wow. Now, the first big point that's in both movies is that Geppetto makes a wish on the Night Star. Now, the wishes are a little different in the remake as opposed to the 1940s version. In the 1940s, Geppetto wishes flat out that Pinocchio was a real boy. Geppetto gets his wish granted by the Blue Fairy. Now, it's interesting to note the animation of the Blue Fairy. Now, if you see, the Blue Fairy doesn't have any exaggerations. She's beautiful. She's blonde. She's almost like Snow White in a sense. Very much Max Fleischer kind of animation style, where there's nothing exaggerated on her facial features. It's literally, she's just a beautiful woman, blue fairy. Whereas you look at Geppetto, who's a human, he's got an exaggerated nose, his eyes are a little cartoony, his mustache, you know, he's a little goofy looking, like one of the seven dwarfs, but not the Blue Fairy. The Blue Fairy is beautiful. So Geppetto builds a relationship with Pinocchio, and that's the second big point, is that now they're a family. And then Geppetto has this idea to send Pinocchio off to school, where he meets Honest John and Gideon, a fox and a cat. Now, in the original book, the fox and the cat play huge parts in tricking Pinocchio all the time into doing bad things, and in the 1940s version, it's no different. Honest John convinces Pinocchio, instead of going to school, to go become an actor for Stromboli. This is where we get the great song, Hi Diddly Dee, an actor's life for me. The second act of Pinocchio is when he becomes an actor for Stromboli's marionette troupe. After he sings this song, I've Got No Strings, he's considered a huge hit. And instead of Stromboli treating Pinocchio like this great actor that's going to make him lots of money one day, he instead throws Pinocchio in a bird cage, locking him up and just treating him like garbage, like wooden toys. This is where we get the iconic scene where Pinocchio lies and his nose begins to grow. Now, in the 1940s version, he's saved by the Blue Fairy, and while he's making his way home, he is stopped by Honest John and Gideon yet again, and is tricked into going into Pleasure Island. This is the third act. Now, on a side note, the coachman in Pinocchio is absolutely terrifying. Yeah, Disney pulls no punches when it comes to traumatizing you with images. And when he becomes basically this Satan-like character, scary. The whole Pleasure Island sequence is, I mean, I guess it's fun. You get the Hi Diddly D song playing in the background, but then once the boys start turning into donkeys, especially when Lampwick turns into a donkey, that scene is horrifying.
What's going on? Oh, I've been double-crossed. Help! Help! Somebody help! I've been framed. Help! Please, you gotta help me. Oh, be a pal. Call that beetle. Call anybody. Mama!
Gives me chills every single time. After Pinocchio escapes Pleasure Island, we come to the fourth act of the movie, where Pinocchio goes looking for Geppetto, and he comes to find out from a dove, obviously sent by the Blue Fairy, that Geppetto's been swallowed by Marble, and Pinocchio is going to go save him. Good thing Pinocchio doesn't breathe air, because he goes underwater, and yeah. Now, ultimately, Pinocchio finds Geppetto, and they wind up escaping Monstro. Now, the whole Monstro chase sequence is so beautifully done. Monstro is just, I don't know how they animated him in terms of what colors they used and what kind of paint or style they used, but it is a brilliant animated sequence where they're trying to get away from Monstro, and Monstro keeps trying to eat them. Exciting, it's fun, it can be scary at times because Monstro is just this huge whale and they have nothing to do with paddle on this little dinky boat. And when it's all said and done, one of my favorite parts of the movie is when they all wind up on shore and just out of nowhere, how they survived it, we don't know. Cleo and Figaro just kind of drift on the shore randomly on this driftwood. It's hilarious. And then, of course, at the end of Pinocchio, he proves himself brave, truthful, and unselfish, and is a real boy, and everyone lives happily ever after. Ah, such a great Disney classic. Now let's look at the remake, 2022's Pinocchio. First of all, let's look at the casting. We have Tom Hanks as Geppetto. How perfect is that? Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the voice of Jiminy Cricket. Or rather, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is doing an impersonation of Cliff Edwards as Jiminy Cricket. And he actually does a really good job impersonating Cliff Edwards. And last but not least, we have Cynthia Erivo as the Blue Fairy. And she is gorgeous as the Blue Fairy. She sings When You Wish Upon a Star. It couldn't be more perfect.
Fate is kind, she brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of the sacred longing, like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps.
Robert Zemeckis directs this movie. He's known for directing the Back to the Future trilogy, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Castaway, and Forrest Gump. So Robert Zemeckis and Tom Hanks are back together, and this is just a on-paper equation for success. We have Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Tom Hanks, two great actors that are well-known, especially Tom Hanks. We have a great singer in Cynthia Erivo, who's an uprising star at this time. And we have a great director who's worked with Tom Hanks before, making Oscar-winning movies like Forrest Gump. We have the director Robert Zemeckis. How can this movie fail? Well, for starters, you let Tom Hanks sing. Tom Hanks has two songs in this movie, and he doesn't really sing them, more as he speaks them. And the two songs he has are When He Was Here With Me and Pinocchio, Pinocchio. 2022 remake of Pinocchio hits the same marks as I mentioned previously in the 1940s, with some variance differences. For starters, let's take a look at the clocks that Geppetto makes in the 2022 version. The clocks are so interesting because they are just Easter egg after Easter egg after Easter egg of Disney classics. The first clock we see is Woody. Now, Tom Hanks, of course, is the voice of Woody from Toy Story. Then there's a clock of Donald Duck. There's a clock of Jessica Rabbit kissing Roger Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, a movie that Robert Zemeckis directed. There's a Maleficent clock. There's a Dumbo clock. There's a Lion King clock. There's a Snow White clock. And there's also some updated clocks of when was in the 1940s version, including the mom spanking the kid who spilt the paint clock. This is really bothering me. I don't know why they put it in a movie. Disney, just why? Anyway. So we give the biggest star in the movie, Tom Hanks, two songs to sing. And although Tom Hanks has a very recognizable speaking voice, doesn't really have the singing voice for his age. He might have had a singing voice back in the day, but not really in this movie. But he has two songs. We get through them. Now, like I said, this movie hits on every single same plot point as the 1940s version with some minor tweaks. The first main difference is that Geppetto had a son, and the whole point of Pinocchio, or him making Pinocchio, is kind of an homage to his son that he lost. And all Geppetto wants is a family again. He wants to be happy. So he makes a wish on the wishing star. But even the Blue Fairy says that he wasn't really specific with his wish. He didn't wish for a real boy. He just wished for a family. Or he wished to be happy. And he wished that Pinocchio would be the one to make him happy. So the Blue Fairy grants this wish by making Pinocchio come alive. The puppet come alive. Main difference number two. Pinocchio meets Honest John and Gideon, and they start singing Hi Diddly Dee and Actor's Life for Me, but Jiminy Cricket's actually able to stop Pinocchio from pursuing the actor's life, and Pinocchio makes it to school, which within a couple seconds, as soon as he goes in the classroom, he's thrown out. That's a huge difference from the original one where Pinocchio decides to ignore Jiminy Cricket altogether and just go on and become an actor. The third main difference is that the Blue Fairy only appears once, and that is at the very beginning where she grants Geppetto's wish, makes Jiminy Cricket Pinocchio's conscience, sings When You Wish Upon a Star, and then goes away. We don't see Cynthia Erivo again throughout the rest of the film. We hear her sing during the credits, but that's it. That's all the Blue Fairy. She gets so minimal screen time. Same with the Blue Fairy in the original one. There's not a whole lot of screen time. But she's at least in two scenes, and she's mentioned again later. But why didn't we get Cynthia Erivo saving Pinocchio from Stromboli? Instead, Pinocchio realizes that if he apologizes for what he's done and the mistakes he's made, it gets rectified. So he grows his nose long by lying to Jiminy Cricket, but then as soon as he apologizes for it, it shrinks back to normal size. That's not what happens in the original movie, but hey, you know what? It's a remake. We're not going to delve too deep into it. Difference number four. On Pleasure Island, there is absolutely no smoking, and there's absolutely no drinking. They're drinking root beer. They're being very specific when they say root beer. We're not drinking alcohol. You're drinking root beer. And there's no cigar smoking. In the 1940s version, you see Pinocchio smoke a cigar, drink beer, and just do all the bad things that you're supposed to do on Pleasure Island. Difference number five. And this is more of an overall difference of the entire point of Pinocchio for the remake, is that Pinocchio is not making the decisions to do bad things, whereas he's being more peer pressured into making the bad decisions, and Pinocchio's left with, in his eyes, no other option than to go and do the bad thing that he's not supposed to do. For instance, going to the school, he meets Honest John, he meets the cat, Gideon, and they try and convince him to go become an actor. Jiminy Cricket talks him out of it. Pinocchio goes to school, gets kicked out of school. Honest John and Gideon meet up with Pinocchio again and tell him, hey, remember when we said go be an actor? See, they don't want you at school. Go be an actor.
All the kids laughed at me.
Of course they did. Puppets make people laugh. Oh, you poor, poor misunderstood boy. Don't you see? You don't fit in a traditional educational environment. You are misunderstood just like every great actor who ever walked the earth. School is for ordinary, humdrum, common, boring, silly little children, not brilliant artists like yourself.
Pinocchio's left with no other option except to become an actor to make his dad proud since he got kicked out of school. And from that point forward, we don't see the fox and the cat again. Whereas in the original Pinocchio, the fox and the cat convince Pinocchio to go to Pleasure Island. In the remake, Pinocchio's freed from Stromboli, he's heading home, and he just gets swept up by a net and gets put in a cart or a carriage, and they're heading over to Pleasure Island. And it's the song that kind of tells him, hey, you're going to have fun on Pleasure Island. You're going to do it. And you literally see in Pinocchio, well, okay, I guess. Like, he's very hesitant on making the decision. Whereas in the 1940s version, it's very clear Pinocchio is going to ignore Jiminy Cricket and do what he wants to do. I mean, that's the whole point of Pinocchio, is that he makes bad decisions and ultimately is redeemed at the end. Whereas in this remake, it's more about peer pressure, and you're making decisions that you don't really see another option to do. It's maintaining innocence is what it is. Pinocchio is a very innocent, sweet little boy, and he's just thrown into the real world, and it's the real world that's corrupting Pinocchio, not Pinocchio is corrupt from the beginning, which was the whole point of the original source material. And last but not least, the sixth difference of this movie is the ending. Pinocchio does not turn into a real boy like he does in the 1940s version. It's kind of left open-ended. He does everything that the Blue Fairy tells him to do. He is brave. He is truthful. He is unselfish. But the point of the movie is it's more of what you feel in your heart.
Then many stories have been told about him. People say he was transformed into an honest-to-goodness real boy. Did that actually happen? Who knows? But I do know one thing for sure. In his heart, Pinocchio is as real as any real boy could ever be.
Now, those are the differences of the stories between the 1940s Pinocchio and the 2022 remake. Now, let's take a look at the production of these movies. As I said before, the 1940s Pinocchio, it's all animation, and I think that's the only way you could have told that story in the 1940s. However, over the years and over the generations, technology gets a lot better, and they make more other versions of Pinocchio. One of the most famous ones is the one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Martin Landau playing Pinocchio and Geppetto, respectively. They use a lot of practical effects for Pinocchio. A lot of puppetry happens in that movie. There's still some CGI, but that's only when it comes to, like, little added-on special effects on the screen. Like, maybe when he grows his nose, they add a little CGI to have his nose grow. But overall, Pinocchio is a practical effect character. He is a puppet, and when he becomes a real boy at the end, hey, look, it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And then there's also this focus become primarily on Geppetto in the ABC made-for-TV movie Geppetto. Remember Geppetto? No? That's okay. Drew Carey played Geppetto, and the story's about him seeking Pinocchio. And they kind of do that in the remake. They show a little bit more of Geppetto looking for Pinocchio, but in the movie Geppetto, it's all about Geppetto looking for Pinocchio, and it hits a little more closer to home is what Pinocchio actually is. There's a scene where Pinocchio's leaving for Pleasure Island, and Geppetto catches up with him, but Pinocchio just flat out rejects Geppetto and goes to Pleasure Island, and we get the last refrain from Usher singing how good Pleasure Island is.
Pleasure Island, Pleasure Island. If that what's for supper, candy, cake, and pie, man. See that window, why not break it? See that toy there, I'll just take it. And you'll never have a lesson or a chore to do. Rules and limits, kiss goodbye, Island. Pleasure Island welcomes you.
So there's a difference between stories, massive differences, which is why I'm not comparing Geppetto with Pinocchio. However, in the movie Geppetto, Pinocchio is played by an actor with a bunch of makeup. There's no special effects to Pinocchio at this point. Now, in the 2022 remake, obviously, there's a lot of computer animation done with the characters. Pinocchio's computer animated, along with Cleo, Figaro, Honest John, Gideon, Monstro, and a new character named Sabina. Now, Sabina is played by a live-action person who controls a marionette, and the marionette is CGI. Why they did that? I guess because they didn't want the actors to learn how to actually work a marionette, even though that would have been really great. We had Team America World Police. Why can't we do it in Pinocchio? But that's beside the point. That's right. I just mentioned Team America World Police and Pinocchio. Disney in the same thought process. So let's answer the first question about these two movies. Which one is better, the 1940s version or the updated 2022 version? Well, let's look at the story. The story hits the same plot points, like literally beat for beat, and instead of a little couple quirks here and there for between the remake, there's not a whole lot of difference with the story. There's The Wish, The Blue Fairy, Stromboli, Pleasure Island, Monstro, Happy Ending. Both movies have that. So let's take that out aside. So we got to basically look at production value and how the story is told. I think, like I said, having a movie fully animated might be confusing for first timers because hand-drawn animation, you don't really get that Pinocchio is a wooden boy, because Pinocchio's exaggerated features are the same as the other characters, like Geppetto, like the cat, like the fox, like Jiminy Cricket, like the coachman. Pinocchio kind of looks similar, with maybe a couple of hand-drawn tweaks, like when Pinocchio spins around and it shows that he keeps his head in place. Yeah, he shows that he's a puppet at that point. Whereas the remake does its best to show that Pinocchio is made of pine. He is a wooden boy. But in the remake, that look is even more cartoony than the original. You can obviously tell that Pinocchio is a CGI character. And there's something about Pinocchio's eyes that just make it so unbelievable that I have to give it to the original. Even though I know that everything is hand-drawn and nothing really stands out in order to make Pinocchio set apart from the rest of the world, Pinocchio in the original is better than the remake. The other thing, too, is the singing. Why give Tom Hanks a song? He can't sing. Why not give Cynthia Erivo more songs? She's in the movie already. Don't just give her one song and have her leave. Don't just give her one scene and have her leave. You had a good Blue Fairy and you had a good Geppetto. One can't sing. One can sing. One is your main focus and the other one could have had more scenes in it. There's just so much that could have been done with the remake. What can make the remake better? Number one, practical effects. We've seen the practical effects, as I mentioned before, in another version of Pinocchio. You could have made Pinocchio a real puppet. Instead of having it all CGI, you could have made Pinocchio a real puppet. Jiminy Cricket as a CGI character, I totally understand. Monstro, the cat, the fox, all CGI, go for it. But set Pinocchio apart from all that and have him be a practical effect. Yeah, sure, it's going to cost more money, but come on, Disney. That's what you do. You are innovative. You are reimagining things. You are creative engineers. You could have made a great art movie with Pinocchio set apart as a practical character. Now, the second question I'm going to answer is, did this movie indeed ruin our childhood? Did the remake ruin Pinocchio? No, it didn't. Because like I said before, this version of Pinocchio hits the same beats as the original plot. There's no real difference in terms of story between these two. There's no vast differences that's going to make you be like, oh, that completely changes the story. Except for Pinocchio being peer pressured by the world, which may be more of a sign of the times than it is the actual story. Regardless, Pinocchio still makes the decision to do the bad thing. And we even see in the remake that Pinocchio does have the ability to change his mind and not do the bad thing. In the remake, Pinocchio is actually offered to go back with the Stromboli troupe. Stromboli was locked away, and he's actually offered to become an actor. And he chooses not to become an actor, but instead go save Geppetto. So that scene is important because it shows that Pinocchio has the ability to make correct decisions. And in the original one, it shows that Pinocchio has the ability to make correct decisions. He just chooses not to. Whereas in this one, he has the option to do the bad thing, and he chooses to actually go do the good thing, which speaks to Pinocchio's character, rather Disney's Pinocchio's character. Well, that does it for Robert Zemeckis' 2022 remake of Disney's Pinocchio. If there's something that you liked, disagreed with, or something I may have missed, go ahead and leave it in the comments below. Otherwise, go ahead and do that trinity of clicks. Like, share, subscribe, so you don't miss out on another episode of The Real Rewind. Next time, we're going to be talking about the original and remake of Disney's Dumbo. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.